In past episodes, we've been able to interview a couple of our accountability group members about their Stardust journeys, including Isabel Wood on creating digital products in episodes 95 and 96, and Jennifer Long on becoming a fabric designer in episodes 98 and 99. We know it can be far more relatable when we talk to people who are a bit closer to their beginning stages of their creative career.
Today, we want to continue our accountability group series by introducing you to Heather Bourque, an amazing artist from North End, Halifax, Nova Scotia, in Canada, who illustrates her love of coastal living and travel through her wholesale and retail online shop, Paper and Wings. And when I say travel, I mean travel. Heather has actually been to more countries than Laura.
Hey, and that's saying something, because I've been to 40 countries so far. But one of the things that I love about Heather is that she has chosen an unconventional life as a flight attendant, photographer, and illustrator, and has combined them all into a wonderfully creative career.
Today, we're discussing something you've asked us to get into, and we're traveling into Heather's world of creating and distributing wholesale products alongside her online retail shop. And we just know you'll be inspired by Heather, who's a great example of a Stardust.
Hi, this is Laura Lee Griffin.
And this is Nikki May with the Stardust Society, inspiring you to stop getting in your own way and start building an art biz and life that you love.
We are artists who believe strongly in the power of community, accountability, following your intuition, taking small, actionable steps, and breaking down the barriers of fear and procrastination that keep you stuck.
Follow along with us on our creative business journey as we encourage you on yours.
Heather, welcome to the Stardust Society. We're so excited to chat with you today.
Hi, guys. It's so awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're super, super excited to get into sharing your story.
So, Heather, one of the things we love to do is start with your Stardust story and learn how you came into this creative career. So can you give us a bit of information on how you got started?
Yeah. I might be going a little too far back, but I was raised on the ocean with a really creative mom, and that would definitely be where I grabbed that creativity from. But I really only started creating in my 20s. When I became a flight attendant, I knew I wanted to do a lot of travel, and I knew I wanted a camera. So after my first travel, I went out and purchased a camera, and it started from there. And it kind of rolled into making my mind want to create everything pretty much. So that would be where it started. I started grabbing photos when I traveled. And eventually, I actually took a leave of absence as being a flight attendant and formally studied photography.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so from there, I went and started a photography company. I was mainly doing commercial and weddings.
Okay.
I quickly figured out that doing the weddings was not a fabulous balance for my flying life, which I wasn't willing to give up. I really wanted to fly, travel, and do something creative. So eventually, after doing the photography for several years, I decided that I needed to do something that could be done anywhere around the world from any hotel room I pretty much was able to create. So that's when I started going into illustrating and pretty much putting a website together and starting that form of creativity.
All right. So you kind of put the photography on the back burner. I know you're still into photography because you share beautiful photographs on your Instagram, but you got into the illustration. And so we all love to see our artwork on products out in the world. And we've talked in episodes in the past about licensing, but we'd love to hear more about how you got into wholesale and how you create your own products to put out in the world and sell to retailers.
I started super small. Really, I'm Acadian background, French Acadian background. And I started with designs that had some of our sayings. And I thought for me, I could start with small stores from my area that I'm originally from. And that was kind of my test market, let's say. I went into small stores. Some of it was consignment, some of it was wholesale, and just kind of figured it out from there. That was kind of my starting point.
Okay, so I'm curious, what are some examples of Acadian sayings? I speak a little French, Heather, a little bit.
I will go with specific words. So, for example, chien, dog.
Uh-huh.
We would pronounce it chien.
Okay.
Main, hand.
Uh-huh.
We would say mon.
Okay.
Something that's really, really, really specific to my area is we would say counting, soixante, septante, huitante, nonante.
Okay.
So it's really not a standardized way of French counting today, but we still see it where I'm from and from places like Belgium, smaller places. But it's really just the really old traditional French that we've always hung on to.
Yeah. Not to get sidetracked. I was just interested that you found this like niche that you could sell to retailers with this. So you were illustrating those things, right?
How did you turn that into products?
Oh, I actually would do basic sayings or words and honestly put them on cards and prints and use the traditional Acadian colors in there, here and there. And like I said, tested it out into small boutiques, museums, anything in my down home area to see what would people gravitate to and if it worked, because I wasn't even sure if doing this type of thing would work in any capacity. And it did. So it kind of spiraled out into allowing me to create into maritime themes, et cetera.
And so you said you tested it out in local shops. Did you physically walk into the shop and say, here, I have some cards and some prints. Would you like to carry them? How did you make those contacts?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, definitely. Even simpler than that. I live about 3.5 hours from where I was born. So to go there, I could do like a little circuit and visit. But nowadays, I pretty much email the museums, email the little stores, and send them one or two photos of what I was producing and to see if they were interested at all. And then from there, we'd have a conversation and see what they needed, if it would work, and very specific to each store, would bring in wholesale products for them.
Nice. And did you immediately get some interest from just those emails?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So hear how easy that is?
Oh, yeah. I started off with 3 emails. That's it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool. Okay. So to get the products, even to get products to send them an example of, were you just printing them out on your printer and like sending them that, like sending them an image of what you were working on? Or how did you do that?
I personally would do, like, I would print it out at a small print shop around the corner from where I currently live.
Okay.
And would do it from there. I found a place that would do, honestly, 5 prints of cards, 10 prints max. So not large quantities, just to test it out.
That's awesome. That's a great way to get started. So, but I'm curious, why did you immediately start thinking about wholesale rather than, say, print on demand or trying to get things licensed?
One, print on demand, I feel it doesn't generate enough money. And for me, being in Canada, it would bring up the shipping costs a lot for these small communities. And I really wanted to keep it down and make it affordable for Acadian people, to be honest.
Okay, that makes sense.
So let's talk a little bit about the types of products you sell. So you started off with these local sayings. You approached local museums, boutiques, shops to see if they were interested. They said yes. Looks like you found a local printer around the corner who could print things for you. So what types of products you originally were selling? Was it prints and greeting cards, or how did you decide exactly what to sell?
Yeah, I started with prints, and then from there I went into greeting cards, and I have a couple outlying products that I sell, but essentially it's art prints and cards. That's it at this point. I really wanted to keep it simple and non-complicated and just something that people would understand very easily at what I did, pretty much.
So what has been your very best-selling product?
Oh, okay. I'm from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and we have smokestacks just across the harbor in Dartmouth. And they kind of are very prominent when you go across the bridge, come into the city, and everybody knows them. And that's probably been my best and probably simplest art print that I've ever put out there. And people love it.
Wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I've seen them. They're very cool. And they actually could kind of apply to lots of places because like anybody who has an industrial section of town has smokestacks, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I can see them from my upstairs window in my house. So.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Is that where you got that image to create from your view from your window?
Not really. My style kind of stems from my photography work. I tend to make a horizontal line a little lower than most artists. I mean, as a artist, we're always taught the rule of thirds, like where mm-hmm. we kind of set things. And right from the get-go, when I was a photographer, I always lowered that line. And that's almost how all my art is made as well.
Cool.
All right. So you have these products, you know, you said greeting cards, you said prints, and you've approached some people. They said, yes, we want it. You were lucky. I guess it sounds like you found a local printer just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. That's amazing. And that they had, I assume, you know, the type of paper or what. How do you choose what to print on?
Well, I was lucky enough to have one person specifically that was in the printer that kind of guided me through that. I wanted something that was hard enough that it could stand like some rigidity, if I can say it.
It's a cardstock?
Yeah. Okay. It's cardstock, basically, but not the thickest, but it's a nice quality cardstock. And basically I went with the one that was affordable, that looked great, that was a little bit more on the wider side versus yellow. And I stuck with that right from the get-go.
Do you use the same cardstock for your cards and your prints?
I do. Yep.
Perfect.
Oh, awesome.
Keep it simple. We so overcomplicate things. And I love that you keep it simple. So how do you package them for retail?
Okay. So basically, let's say it's a card. I basically have the card, envelope, in a sleeve, and that's it. If I'm doing the print, I have the print, a cardboard stock on the back of it, and I have a write-up as to what the print's about. So I have an individual write-up for each print.
Nice.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this correctly, the sleeve is probably like a see-through cellophane type, whatever, sleeve, acid-free sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other things that you're adding in there, do you compile all that yourself or does your printer do that for you?
Keep costs down. I do everything myself.
Okay.
Yep.
And then does the printer sell you those things or do you source those things yourself? Like the backing for the print and the sleeves and the stickers that you use to put the story of the print in there?
Yeah. The backing, I think they call it t-shirt backing or something like that. I source it from the printers. Mm-hmm. The little card that goes on the back, the printer prints it.
Nice.
Same as the cardstock, same as everything else, same paper. The sleeves I outsource elsewhere. There's a Canadian company that I grab that from. And what's else? That's it. That's all that there is in there.
And do you do any kind of, what do you do when you're packaging something up to deliver it to the retail shop?
I've done both. I ship it or I deliver it if it's in the area. So if I do a shipping type of parcel with all my prints in it, mm-hmm. I definitely incorporate the shipping cost in there. Like there's an extra charge for that.
All right. I have two questions for you. I'm going to go back quickly and just talk about greeting cards for a second. Mm-hmm. Greeting cards come in so many different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're working on wholesale, and I don't know if it's different in Canada than the US, for example, but like, is there a specific size you use for greeting cards through your printer that you decided on? How did you decide on that size versus something else?
Well, as every artist, I started with the wrong size. I kind of went to the size that I thought was cool and I would enjoy. And quickly,
which was what? What was that size?
Oh, I can't even remember. It might have even been square, something not standard for shops and for presentation in a shop. They have the standardized places to put them and all that. And I was lucky enough when I decided to have my first store in Halifax, one of the stores was owned by an artist. And she guided me with the cost that I should put on my prints, sizing, standardized size for my cards, and cost that I should put on my cards as well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, because I went in with odd shapes. My prices were too low for wholesale pricing, et cetera, et cetera. And she really helped me standardize it to what everybody else was selling at.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the next question I have then is around placing orders. So you had these people that were interested in your product. And you do, you have to price things out, right? And then, I know for a lot of people, if you're doing wholesale, and especially when you were talking about shipping fees and shipping charges, you don't want to like, you want to have a minimum, right? Like a minimum order they have to place, because if they buy one card, then you're going to like, how do you do the shipping on that? And like, you know, how does all of that work?
It was kind of a process for me. I learned as I went, but essentially I would definitely recommend doing a minimum order, whether it's number of units or the actual cost that you need to have to buy this purchase. Essentially, you want to make it enough that it's going to cover your cost, and you have to be ready to offer wholesale pricing, which is 50% off.
And so what is your minimum? I mean, I would love for you to share as much as you feel comfortable with about what your pricing is and how you figure that out.
Yeah, for me, I do a local minimum of $250.
Okay.
For the first order. And once they've put in one order, I give a lot more flexibility, especially if they're regular orders from mm-hmm. people. But definitely the first one, to keep it basic and make sure that I can cover my cost and all that fun stuff and make it worth my while, I do a minimum of $250. Yeah. Some people do it per unit, which is kind of comes to the same thing, though.
All right. So if you have $250 as a minimum order, and then what's the standard cost of like a print that you have, a retail cost for your prints?
Retail cost? My 8x10s are around $23.
Okay. So $23. So that's, I'm trying to do this in my head. It's about 10 prints would be the retail cost. And if it's half off of that, so about, they have to order about 20 prints, right?
Exactly.
For the wholesale people, right?
Yep.
Do they have to be the same print or can they be different prints? Does it matter?
For me, they can be different prints because the printer I deal with definitely allows me flexibility to do small orders. So if they want five of one, I am not opposed to that. It can be complicated, though, if you're doing printing with a printer that requires a minimum order. So that's something to consider in the pricing as well. But for me, I do five prints, one print. It doesn't matter.
And so how do your retailers order from you? Do you have a form? Do you have a catalog? Do you have a private place on your website for wholesale? How do you handle that?
I personally guide them to my website and they can order anything off of it. You can do it several ways though. You can do it through a website and you can have a wholesale option to go in and offer that kind of thing. Some people do line sheets. Mm-hmm. Or you might even only offer a select number of prints to this person. So there's different ways to do it. For me, I allow them to go onto my website and they basically make a list of what they want. And then I invoice them accordingly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is kind of a random question. So when people are getting started, I know you had mentioned the word consignment before on mm-hmm. the front end of this discussion. And sometimes there's the wholesale option and sometimes people have this option for like consignment. And even with wholesale, I think there can be the option of, are you buying everything outright from me or can they return things that don't sell? Mm-hmm. So how did you set up your business from the get-go? Did you have options for consignment where you went, okay, if it doesn't sell, I'll take it back, you know, that product? Or have you always kind of, how has that worked for you?
I've done both. My first store in Halifax was consignment. Essentially, I offered the product, brought it in, and when it sold, she would pay me monthly. Mm-hmm. If anything didn't sell, after X amount of months, we'd have a chat and I'd go pick up the prints.
Okay.
As for the wholesale, once again, minimum of $250, they get the product, they keep the product till it's sold. I never get that one back. It's a straight out purchase.
Right. Do you still do any consignment at all, or is it just all wholesale now?
All wholesale at this point. But open to consignment if it's the right store, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how many stores are you selling in now?
Under 10.
Under 10 retail stores, right?
Under 10. It's more like small boutique stores, essentially. And yep. It's under 10, and they're all in the Maritimes between here, New Brunswick. Yeah, here in New Brunswick, essentially.
Have you thought about expanding and growing it to be bigger than it is?
Well, interestingly enough, the occasional time I'll have one wholesale order and that's the only order for that. Maybe it's a special occasion or something.
Mm-hmm.
However, not really. I really want to keep it to small. I would consider max 20 stores just to be able to manage it. And my whole goal is to be away 6 months of the year. So for me, it's very important not to have too much work either. I want to keep it balanced and be allowed to create.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I do know you have a career where you're traveling quite a bit, and you've also taken some really fantastic sabbaticals to like Mexico, to Portugal.
Which we were so jealous of.
And more to come.
I mean, that's amazing. But like having a wholesale business, people would think, well, how do you keep, when it's just you, how do you keep a wholesale business going if you're going to be gone for a period of time? How do you manage that in your own life and with your own business?
Okay, so I'm slowly figuring that out, because the reality of being away is starting to happen now. So essentially what I've discovered with the wholesale world, at least in the little boutique stores I've dealt with, is in general, I will get a sale when I approach them. Even if they're a regular client, the occasional time they'll contact me, but in all reality, I usually target them before Christmas and before summer. Those are the two times I reach out, and I make sure I approach them when I'm in the country or let them know I'm leaving by this date. So it's worked out really, really well, but it's definitely been a little bit of a challenge to find the way that best works for me, because I know my situation is not typical. So,
right. And how frequently are you refreshing the products that you're offering them? So let's say you may have a certain number, I'm not sure how many illustrations you're offering them today. And then if you are working on, do you work on new collections that you then offer, or how does that work?
Yes, definitely. I aim for a new collection a year and being able to offer that. I'm realizing, once again, learning process starting, is the fact that I'm not creating often enough. So to sell more, I would have to create a little bit more. And I know that's something I have to be a little bit more on in the future, because definitely I've not created often enough.
I'm sure there are tons of cafes all over the world that you can sit and sip your coffee or tea and draw in.
Yes. Definitely last year when I was in Mexico, my goal was to have a creative month. And I was just so excited. I was in Oaxaca. I was just so excited to be there. I ended up visiting and touring and walking and hiking the whole time rather than creating. So hopefully in the future, I will find the space for that a little bit better than I have in the past.
But all that travel and experiencing just gives you so much more to draw on when you do create, right?
Absolutely. Definitely. That's where I feel most inspired, is when I'm moving and away and seeing new things.
Do you retire old designs, or do you have everything that people have bought from you in the past always available?
In general, I have most of it that's available. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I'm in the process of kind of going through my website and looking at what has to be removed, because I do realize some things are a little bit stagnant and should not be there any longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And how do you manage inventory? So let's say you're going out to approach people and you go out to these 10 stores and say, hey, you know, I've got a, you know, in a month I'm leaving town. If you'd love to place an order, let me know. Here's, you know, I have this new art available as well as what you've seen in the past. However, that's communicated. Do you wait to print with your local printer until after you have the orders placed, so you know how much to have printed?
Yes, absolutely. I do one test print, put in my orders, and if I get a wholesale order, I'll print accordingly. I have a small inventory here, but not a whole lot, minimum amounts.
No, I think that's smart, because otherwise you could be sitting on a whole bunch of inventory, but if you're able to like have your printer print, basically print, it's like print on demand, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like you can get the orders and then you have it printed. You just have to have all the backing stock and the stuff prepared so that you can have everything put together professionally with, you know, your plastic packaging and all of that.
Exactly. So I have the plastic packaging, the backing. I usually have a few extra, like the write-ups that go on the back. I do have a little bit of stock of that, because that's a little bit more complicated to print.
Right.
And when I do get a wholesale order, say they want 10 of one print, I might tack on 15 to have a little bit of a stash in the house when,
right.
And it brings down the cost if I do it all at once.
Makes sense.
So what's your turnaround time with your printer when you place an order?
I'd say maximum 2 weeks. So I do put that in the wholesale agreement. I give myself a 3 week period, 3 to 4 week period. Yeah.
Okay. And nobody seems to have a problem with that?
Never.
Because they actually plan in advance, unlike anything I ever do.
Yes. I would say I'm definitely the slacker in this because they're ready to go for the holiday season 4 or 6 months in advance. And I'm always the artist that is kind of at the latter, the later end of that one.
Oh, I get that for sure.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I'm really curious, when you talk about finding this local printer just around the corner from you, mm-hmm. how do you work with them on, a lot of people are nervous about using printers versus their own printing in their house, for example, because the color, it's hard to get the color right. Like, mm-hmm. how do you make sure, did you have any problems with that with the printer when you started out, or did your colors just turn out fantastic the first time?
Okay. So yes, super challenging. I will not lie. Coming from my photography days, I had a high-end printer that I absolutely loved and printed amazingly, consistently, but cost me a fortune. Mm-hmm. The ink I was going through was never ending. Long story short, I eventually ended up selling it and going to a printer. The challenge I've had with printers is consistency. But what I've learned is when I do a wholesale order, I make sure I do the full order all at the same time. So at least the coloring is consistent within that order.
Ah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you send them the same print, all 10 of those prints are going to be the same color. Right?
Exactly. And I mean, like when you're presenting 5 prints and I have really solid, bright colors, mm-hmm. that teal has to be the same or you will notice it from print to print. And that's really tough to do if you're doing it in 2-3 orders. I always do it in one big order.
But also you work with the same printer all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So they should know by now, they should pretty much have it down, I would think.
They do. But I've noticed that once again, depending on how their printer is tweaked, you might see slight inconsistencies.
Yeah. So as long as it's not within one batch, then you're probably okay.
Yeah. And I've learned that now if somebody orders a batch or if they do even 3 individual prints that have the same background, I order it all at the same time.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have a printer myself I've considered doing this type of thing on, and it's a Canon something 100. It's like a big gargantuan machine that takes up half the room, but it's really expensive for the ink. And the paper, like there's beautiful papers from, I think it's called Riverside. And it's based out of Dallas, and they have these beautiful papers you can print on, but then they're like $1 each. Yeah, so like if you screw up, you know, on that and you're trying to get the colors right, you're wasting a lot of paper, right?
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is I found, and this was coached through the printer person themselves, is I have a lot of solid colors. If you'll notice any new print, I really try to stay away from that. It has to have a little texture or some kind of grain in there, because the solid color, you can sometimes see lines going through it or inconsistencies are very visible on solid prints.
Yeah, that's a good point, is having the texture keeps that from like any printing errors to be so visible.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about, you mentioned you could potentially retire things that aren't necessarily selling well. Do you sort of track which products are selling the best? And do you ever do any custom work for any specific retail shop or anything like that?
Mm, yeah, I've done a few. I've done joint projects. I've done custom. I've done a few custom pet portraits, which people have really liked. Mm-hmm. I did a joint project that was an artist that sells tea towels, and he wanted the cityscape of Halifax. So we made the agreement that I would do the design for him and myself. So I could sell on print, he could sell on the tea towels, and mm-hmm. yeah, those kind of things. Definitely.
And then you could get a percentage of whatever he sold on the tea towels or something.
Yeah. What we did is what he sold, he got. What I sold, I got.
Cool.
Yep. Yep.
And how did that go over for you?
Really well. Yeah, definitely. It was a commission based, but I gave him a price that was a little bit lower to allow me to use it as well.
Nice.
Now, have you ever had a specific situation that's popped up with a retailer that was challenging? You know, maybe something didn't go right, and you like either a shipment went wrong or so, you know,
did you have to break up with anybody?
I live in a city that people are pretty darn cool, I have to say. Most of the people that are involved in boutique shops and those kind of things, I target the smaller places. They're there because they love what they do. I've never had a problem. I would say one poor client didn't get their package for a very long time because it got lost in the system. Mm. And eventually it ended up coming back to me and I had to repackage and send it back to them. There was a slight mistake in the address they had that I think I had made the mistake. I can't even remember. That being said, very understanding, and they eventually got it. And I tucked a couple extra things in there for them having mm-hmm. waited so long.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I actually want to talk a little bit about away from the businessy side of it and kind of talk about your style. You have a very, very distinct, strong signature style, which I think is fabulous. And I want to talk about how you develop that style. And do you think that helps with shops being interested in your work? It's definitely different from a lot of other things out there.
Mm, yeah, definitely. As I mentioned, that really stems from having studied photography and mm-hmm. learning my style at that end of things. I was a little bit all over the place when I first started photography, but I quickly had a way I like seeing photos. And for me, something very clean and simple always has worked. Some photographers do fabulous photos with a lot in the photo. For me, I try to clean it up and bring it to nothing. And that's how my art is. Often I'll have way more lines in there when I first start. And in the end, I wipe out almost half of what I've designed to bring it to simpler.
And it works beautifully. And it's really interesting to see when you share your photography that it's very, very similar to your drawings. They're the same composition and the same sort of interesting crop perspective.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I also see that you use a lot of the same colors as well.
Yeah.
When I look at your prints, like there's a sort of a signature palette that you like to use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I like the teal and the blues and stuff. And I think that
who doesn't love teal?
I know, right? And I'm a fan of a really punchy color in my illustrations. I like that single big color in there that brings it out. And I find that people that are drawn to my photos and illustrations, it's often because of that one punchy thing in there.
Yeah, I love those pops of red that I've seen too mm-hmm. in your work. And then, and I know you've done some work in collections mm-hmm. Because I had a beautiful version of your calendar last year on my
yeah.
desk. And it was really awesome because it had, it was one of those that you could set up and it had, you know, like cardstock, I don't know how to describe that type of calendar. Mm-hmm. But, it was thematic, right? Cause as you went through the year, all of those illustrations went really well together, the color palette, the style, mm-hmm. you know, all of that, which I thought was really cool. How did you come up with that theme, or when you're working on something like a calendar, how did you come up with the style you were going to use for the calendar and the themes for the calendar?
I think the one you got that we're speaking about specifically was flowers. Is that the one you had?
Flowers. It had like, there was a cute car on one of them. There were a few travel themed things as well. It was kind of like a teal and a green theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's from my whimsical collection. That one comes from an inspiration from you, Nikki. It was the 100-day challenge that I reduced to a 50-day challenge when I turned 50. And
nice.
I basically, all the designs that came from that ended up on that calendar.
Awesome.
So Stardus challenges are an awesome way to go to get your illustrations together so you can create a 12-month calendar and then sell it.
We are huge fans of challenges for sure.
Yeah. And I like creating I create my own challenges when I want to do a new design or a new collection. For mm-hmm. me, that is the best way to create something. I'm productive. It keeps me on one line of thinking.
Yeah.
And it's cohesive. All those fun things.
Excellent. Well, I expect my commission from that in the mail.
And what I love is that you make this sound like so easy, Heather. Like you're like, oh, well, you know, you just go to the shop, you do this, you approach a few people, and then, hey, I love that. Like, but we make it up, I think, to be a lot bigger in our heads of like, what does it mean to have a wholesale business? It's like, it could be as simple as approaching local stores, showing them, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge catalog of like 80 types of products and, you know, 50 designs. You can start really small and make a difference and actually, you know, be able to put your products out in the world and get them sold, which is so cool.
I think even smaller is better to start, because it allows you to grow where you should or might want to with these stores. Like, you kind of grow together. I had one that I would say, okay, what is needed in your store right now? And I would often guide what I design according to her feedback. So it's about chatting with the people you're working with. And I think it doesn't have to be complicated. It's never been for me. And if it was, I probably wouldn't enjoy it.
Well, and the way you're doing it in these small ways just keeps it from being so overwhelming that you're afraid to start.
Yep, absolutely.
So let me ask you from a timing perspective, when did you get your first wholesale client? What year was it?
Ooh, guessing 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm asking is because COVID has happened since then, right? Like this pandemic has happened. And I know for a lot of small retailers, it was really, really difficult, right? Because nobody was leaving their house kind of thing. And if they weren't already online, it was really a struggle for them to sell. So how did that impact your business and your relationships with those retailers during that time?
Okay. So two ways. One, I wasn't flying. I chose to be home during COVID and not fly as a flight attendant. Mm-hmm. The second thing was...
Good choice, by the way.
Yeah, I was really happy to be home. And it allowed me to indulge in my creativity. I treated it like a full-time job. So Monday to Friday, I was in the office creating, doing things, making new projects. I guess there's 3 points. I'm on my third one now. The third thing was, because people were home, they were actually online. So between myself, my website, and the boutiques I was with, people were promoting online. It was my best year ever for creating and making money.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard so much about that, of people who were like teaching online courses and things like that, right? Because everybody was stuck at home and they didn't have anything, you know, to do in their after hours. So there was a lot of that, that type of business that was skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think about that for retail. And that, like, the people could be promoting things online and you would still have that opportunity to be able to sell your products. So,
well, it was a great time to be someone who builds websites too, because everybody was trying to bring their business online.
Yeah, right. I agreed.
Interesting.
One thing I really love about your business is your name.
Oh,
so
yes.
So you work under the name Paper and Wings, mm-hmm. which is so perfect with your travel and your prints and cards. Did that just come to you? Did you play around with a bunch of names?
So before I met you two, I was in a mastermind group. And my whole website was made through this mastermind group. I was brand new to this group. I was brand new to illustration. And I had no website. And I didn't even know where to start. So I was coached by people that had specialties in different areas. So it was basically a brainstorming session. And I had a whole bunch of, I talked about paper airplanes, blah, blah, blah. But I really wanted it to be true to what I did and how I wanted to put it out there. So the flight attendant world and my illustration, or my travel world and illustration, I wanted to bring together. So that's where the name comes from.
Well, it's just perfect. It suits you and your business perfectly.
Thank you.
I love it.
Heather, is there anything else that we should have asked you that we haven't thought to ask you? Is there anything that you want to share? Any bit of advice?
I would say the only outlying thing that is completely disconnected, but it kind of relevant, is I'm getting into a photo project again after 10 years of being away from the photography world.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Okay. So, yeah, I got many, many years ago, 2007, actually, I was involved in a photo project that was published in a book. I was one of 7 photographers. And at the time, I was traveling around the world doing humanitarian work here and there on my days off. And we put a book together, and come to find out, it did very well. And so the fellow that did it approached me recently to do a second book with him, which I'll be the solo artist in there as a photographer.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. The for the first one, you were not the solo artist?
No, one of seven people.
Wow.
So this time I'll be the only photographer. And it may mean some traveling, but more importantly for me, it allows me to go through 25 years of archives that I have not used very much.
Yeah.
I was looking for a place to put these photos and I figured a gallery or something like that. And they now will have a home in a book.
That's fantastic.
So tell us a little bit about these photos. What is the subject matter? Is it black and white? Is it color?
It's going to be a mix. Subject matter, it's all going to be humanitarian based. So anything from modern day slavery to climate change to mental health that affects people around the world, but it's all humanitarian based. And it will be anything from some of the projects I've gone to have been in orphanages. I've been to Haiti post earthquake. It'll basically bring all those more adventurous travels to light, basically.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. And potentially provide opportunity for more. If you know, I think it's a good excuse to do a little bit of extra adventure travel
yes, that's
for sure.
Yeah.
But then you're going to get more countries on your list, Heather, and then you're just going to be that far ahead of me.
Laura, you got to get traveling again.
That's right. That's right. And I forgot to mention, this will be 100% charity based. It's to make money to bring out to the right organizations. That's the goal of the book.
That's great. So I also wanted to ask you a little bit more about your photography. Have you thought about adding photo prints and cards to your shop, to your retail, your wholesale business?
Absolutely. I actually have an unpublished page on my website that I just have to click the button and open that up. I'm kind of actively working on that. And it's
cool.
Brings back the super clean photos that you could collage on your wall and make your wall look beautiful, basically.
Nice.
Now, you had mentioned that the wholesale orders could be placed on your website. Mm-hmm. Do you have a special portal for that, or does it end up being like a secret coupon code you give people? How does that work?
No, what they do is they go through my website, basically take the name of the print at the bottom, and they send me a list of the prints they want. Simple as that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But a lot of people do the coupon code of 50%, and that would probably simplify my life. But I don't know why I've never done it that way.
Yeah. I was just, but when we were talking about this, about your interview, I was telling Laura, I'm recording right now from a friend's house, who is also a client, and she makes the most beautiful jewelry, and we're probably going to have to interview her at some point, but I built her website for her, and she has her online retail shop. And rather than having a whole separate process for retailers to buy wholesale, we just have a coupon code and they can just order it that way. And it's worked beautifully for her.
I think one reason I started going a different route with that is because I'm in a small city and I really try not to saturate too many stores in one area. So honestly, downtown, I have two stores that I've dealt with. And at one point, I promised one of the retailers that I would only sell that size in her store.
Yeah.
So it would restrict certain prints from being purchased by other retailers. So that's why I went by doing it. And just say, do not order this size, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of gave him the guideline.
That makes sense. That makes sense if it's a more personal choice.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about with you, Heather. And so one of those I think you mentioned is staying small. You've got your 10 stores. Maybe you would consider going up to 20. A lot of people are even nervous about going out and talking to potential stores, and they're looking at Faire online, which is an option now that you can sign up. And then I guess other people will find you because it's a marketplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you probably have not considered because you're wanting to keep this at sort of a manageable level? Do you know anyone, either Nikki or Heather, that uses Faire today? I'd be kind of curious to understand that experience.
I've talked to a couple of people that have used it, and have said that it wasn't fabulous for them. And that's mm-hmm. kind of why I stayed away from that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the challenges that you've heard using FAIR versus the approach that you've taken?
Geez, I can't even remember because it's been that long ago.
Yeah.
Because it was when it first came up that I had considered it, and it kind of just fell off my radar.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Nikki, do you know anyone who's used FAIR?
No, any experience I have with it is more from the retailer side, because Raven and Moth, the shop in Paducah that I sell my work in, uses it to purchase. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who does it that way.
Well, and the second thing I wanted to talk about, again, was revisiting pricing with you. So I think a lot of people don't know how to price work for wholesale. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it, right? It could be, well, what's your internal cost? And then I need to double that at least to make a certain amount of profit. But then I know that the retail will have to be double that, you know, because if I'm going to sell it for wholesale, I got to make some money at wholesale. Mm-hmm. So what is your recommendation of how you look at even coming up with a price? Because I'm sure you have to be competitive with what's out there in the market as well, but you just want to make it worth your time. So what are your best recommendations around pricing?
Oh, yes. Of course, like you said, you have to find a base price of what you're spending. Like, what does it cost you to print? What does it cost to package? All that stuff. I think equally, and maybe even more importantly, is go into the store and see what other artists are pricing their things at. You want to be in that bracket. And for me personally, it brought my price way up because I was charging half the price, to be honest.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that was on like going out to having a shopping day, right? Mm-hmm. Going out to some of your favorite boutiques, or if there's a place that you were like, oh man, I wish my work could be in that place.
Yeah.
Like go in and see what is everybody else charging. And then you would know you'd need to sell it for like half that retail price to as wholesale to that shop, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just want to make sure that your cost isn't going to be too high. And if the cost is high, maybe you should consider using a different type of paper or like making things a little bit cheaper on the cost side for you. But also, you've got to consider the time it took you to make all those beautiful illustrations, Heather.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't be scared to approach artists and see how they're doing it. I think for me, I was lucky I got the guidance from somebody that owned the boutique store that I really wanted to be in. Mm-hmm. And so got chatting with her, and she was great guidance. That was my first one in Halifax, and she guided me through everything. However, looking at other artists and seeing what they were selling for was a big key as well.
Awesome. Great advice.
So Heather, where are you going with this? What's next? Where do you see yourself with all of this in the next like 5 to 10 years?
I definitely see it as a very slow business, because I don't want to say slow business. I want to keep it small and allow me to see the world. That's the main focus for me. I want to be able to leave for 6 months and still manage to be able to do creations and make a little bit of money on the side. So I want to keep that balance in there. And as mentioned, I want to reintroduce photography into my world. I feel like I've missed a big passion for me in the last few years not doing that. And I think the humanitarian world will be mixed in there for sure.
Well, I can absolutely see your photography working beautifully alongside your drawings in the shop. I don't think it's so different that it can't work beautifully together. It's, you know, same kind of subject matter, same vision. So I think it'll be great. I can't wait to see what you do with it.
Thank you. Me too.
So where can our listeners connect with you online?
At paperandwings.com.
And you have links to all your social media on there.
Everything. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
Well, Heather, thank you so much for coming on to the show to talk to us today. It's getting me a little inspired maybe to go out to some local boutiques and maybe approach them, talk to them about putting some of my own greeting cards and artwork out into the world. So thank you so much for that inspiration.
My pleasure. It was a blast speaking to you both.
I think this will be really inspirational to a lot of people who, you know, we interview the Stacey Bloomfields of the world who are doing this kind of thing on just such a huge level that's so overwhelming. I mean, she does it amazingly and she's inspirational, but the way you're approaching it, I think will help the people who are our main listeners who are maybe afraid to get started. And you've done a great job of making it really manageable and not so scary. So thank you for that. And I can't wait to hear what everybody has to say about it.
Thank you, guys.
To learn more about Heather and Paper and Wings and to read today's show notes, go to startasociety.com/paperandwings.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, we'd love for you to leave us a 5-star rating and review. Reviews help us reach more startists like you and keep us inspired to create new episodes.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.